Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. Welcome to episode 16. We are so glad you came. We have on the line Natalie, another Natalie, which is myself speaking, Jennifer and Alex. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
So to you guys, I probably think that, you know, it's been kind of a regular week, but everyone on the East Coast is probably still recovering from Hurricane Irene. You guys have no idea how crazy it is. And I'm just wondering, does it feel like kind of just, oh, East Coast news?
I felt disconnected.
Does, actually. Yeah, I kind of thought it was over. And then yesterday I saw on the news that I think it was maybe Paterson, New Jersey or something. There was like huge floods of water still coming through. And it was kind of a new thing. I don't know how all of a sudden this water was there. But I just, I kind of caught the story out of the corner of my eye. And I was like, that's still happening? So yeah, I agree. We're definitely disconnected.
Has just been so nice here. So I can't even imagine what it's like on the East Coast when I hear about it. I've been taking these to the park. We've been just hanging out at the wharf.
It's crazy. We still have road detours. Like, we'll try and go somewhere and just have to completely go around because there are roads that were completely flooded. There were huge trees that were down. It's been so tumultuous. So to be kind of just going along with regular life like my sister and my parents are on the West Coast, I'm like, you guys know what we're going through. So all the other East Coast mommies, solidarity. It's been a crazy week. And so this is the podcast where we talk about the things that we are blogging about on mommybeta.com. And I thought I would kick it off with talking about how the hurricane has infected us, because it's been pretty crazy. Not only did we have to evacuate Ocean City, Maryland, where we were vacationing a day early because of the hurricane, but also my poor little man got a staph infection and I couldn't get seen by our regular pediatrician, and the clinics were even closing. The urgent care clinics, only the hospital stayed open. So it was scary because not only did I have this infection to deal with, but also we couldn't get medical treatment because pretty much the whole city, the whole, you know, area of New Jersey where we live in just shut down. No one left. No one went anywhere. It was nuts. And I posted this post about staph infection, and then the three of you all messaged me separately, and they're like, oh my gosh, so scary. You guys have sort of fear about staph? Like, when I hear staph, I think, oh my God, scary. But what do you guys know about it before I posted
this? I was going to say, I don't really know a ton about it until I read your blog post. I mean, I know it's bad, so... Actually, can you explain exactly what it is?
Yeah, so I'm not going to try and say the virus that staph is short for, but it's a type of bacterial.
Staphylepinevis, is there a Sesame Street character by that name?
Basically, yeah. So it's a type of bacteria that most of us have on our bodies anyway, but when we get a lesion or something happens where it invades your body, it can be dangerous if you don't treat it, and if you have poor health otherwise. There have been people who die of it, but mostly those are older people with weakened immune systems. So I'm not exactly sure how Miles got it, but 2 weeks ago, we were doing this podcast, and I had told you that Clayton was sick. His dad was really violently sick. And the very next day, Miles started to get these sort of pustules. They look like big pussy pimples inside the diaper. And I thought, this is a weird diaper rash. And I had been reading on Inhabitats that cloth diapered babies don't get diaper rash. It's pretty much never related to diapers if they do. Sometimes they might get a rash that's related to something else, but it's not really possible for cloth diapers to cause a diaper rash. And that's a loose interpretation of what that blog said. And so I was like, this is weird because he doesn't ever get diaper rash. And I thought maybe he's fighting off what his dad had. Well, it turns out that was exactly the case. And so we took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, I think this is staph. And we ended up going up to our house in the mountains where we could get medical care. And so we put him on antibiotics, and the next day, or a couple days later, actually just yesterday, his fever still wasn't down. And I thought, this is still scaring me. So I took him into his pediatrician in New Jersey. And he said, actually, I can tell you for sure that whatever caused Clayton's virus is the same thing that caused Miles, because the same MRSA virus causes really violent stomach upset and, you know, throwing up in adults, and also causes these kind of pustules. So they both had the same thing. And because Miles was fighting this, his antibodies were all trying to fight the staph virus, he got a double ear infection and a sore throat. So I found that out yesterday. I know. And he's been his same goofball self. So I had no symptoms of why. I didn't know, you know. We both were in the doctor's office, Clayton and I, and we looked at each other when he goes, yep, double ear infection. And we're like, we're craptastic parents. No. How did we not know
that? You just have an amazing child.
Seriously.
And we had no symptoms of it. He hadn't even been pulling at his ears or anything like babies normally do when their ears hurt. So the doctor said, well, we just have to treat the staph first, and the antibiotics he's on are the correct ones, but it'll take longer because these aren't like pimples where they drain out and just dry up quickly. They take a long time to drain. So we have to keep on it. So it's scary and it's annoying that, you know, I didn't know all of this. And he said that this is, it may be MRSA, which is the type of staph that's resistant to most antibiotics. So he had to be on the stronger one. And he said he's actually on the right antibiotics. But he said that most of staph that we get these days is MRSA. So we all have to get used to the fact that the kind of staph that's stronger has kind of taken hold because we've treated the weaker one.
Oh, that's so scary. I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah, it's traumatic. And, you know, I don't know if Clayton maybe touched something on the train on the way home from New York City and then went and changed a diaper and that's how it happened. Or maybe Miles got it from a changing table when we were out at a restaurant somewhere, and then Clayton changed a diaper and then somehow, you know, touched his face or something, because he was pretty violently sick and it's just amazing that I didn't get it.
Yeah.
So, and you know, the reason I kind of toyed with whether or not I would talk about this, because, you know, little like pustules on his little balls are so sensitive, and I'm sure he wouldn't love me talking about this, but at the same time, if there are other cloth diapering mommies that are following us, which I know for a fact that they are, they would maybe think twice, because I let it go for a few days thinking, wow, what a weird diaper infection. This is so, or diaper rash. This is so weird. But you know, then after a few days I was like, I'm just taking them in, you know, I just would rather be safe than sorry. So
do you have a topical cream or something you're putting on? Are you doing anything different with the diapering that you would have normally, or just kind of the same thing?
Well, yeah, actually funny that you mentioned that. So we do have a cream that they gave us, an antibiotic cream, but the doctor said this might not do that much. For a while I was using Neosporin and they said, nah, just, you know, this is bacterial. We have to just fight it internally. But he did say these kind of pustules need to be kept wet, because that will help them drain. If they dry up, they won't be draining as fast on their own. So
that's counterintuitive.
Yeah, because diaper rash you want to keep dry.
Right.
But these are pustules that we need to drain some pus out of, so he says to keep it wet. So thankfully, I use pocket diapers, so I can soak the insert and then put it in and keep him wet that way, because if he was on disposables, the disposables would continue to wick away the wetness.
Right.
Thankfully, the pocket diapers work really well for this. I can just soak the insert.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Does he seem to mind having the wet diaper all the time?
No, this kid doesn't care about it. He just wants
Dominic
to play ball.
Doesn't care about wet diapers either.
No.
Yeah. You guys are so lucky. I think that's the difference between boys and girls, because Reese hates wet diapers and she will not nap in her poop. So if she's not napping, she's probably pooped.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, he won't nap with poop either. And he will tell us, like, I mean, he usually, you know, indicates when he's pooped and he cares about this kind of thing. But the weird thing about this whole thing is he is the same kind of fun loving, you know, goofy, laughy, smiley little man. I wouldn't have known otherwise except for these physical symptoms.
I can't believe that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So
that is truly amazing. I don't know if I know any other kids like that. Although Dom's pretty happy.
He's super happy, but when he doesn't feel good, you can tell. I mean,
yeah,
he doesn't get really cranky, but he's definitely out of it when he doesn't feel good.
Yeah, Reese gets pretty cranky, and I know, like, when she's teething, it's awful, and I feel so bad. Like, I wish I could just take the pain away from all of our babies.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really surprised that his sleeping is going well. When Elle had ear infections, whenever she would lay down, she would just cry and then wake up, you know, a couple of hours later. So, yeah, she's never done the ear pulling, though, with the ear infections. It's always just been
the waking up, sleeping, that was an indicator for us.
Yeah. And the fever. The fever never was high, but it didn't go away. It was in the 100s. And so I after a couple, you know, it went away and then it came back. And I thought after 4 days on antibiotics, he should not have a fever anymore. That's why I took him back in. And thank goodness for our pediatrician. I love that man.
Did your pediatrician say anything what we should watch for? Is it something we should all be worried about, concerned? Like, what are the percentages of people or babies getting it?
Well, like I said, most of us have it in our nose and on our hands anyway, and in our mouths. It's when there's a lesion that it can get inside of the skin, and that's when it becomes. But, you know, you want to make sure, that's another reason that you always wash your hands after a diaper change, which, you know, when you're changing a lot of diapers can get tedious, and sometimes you can be lazy and just do the antibacterial wash, but you know.
But Miles didn't have a lesion, did he?
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. When I took him to the zoo recently and I changed his diaper in the car, and he reached down and kind of scratched himself. And I was wondering, and then I saw him scratch himself, and I saw the cut, and there was a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of blood on the diaper.
Oh my God, such a fluke.
Yeah, it was just a little scratch because, you know, they all reach down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that probably could have been it. But, and I'm trying to think if that was even around the same, it was close to the same time that Clayton got sick. I think maybe a day.
Because he could have had it on his hands just then and introduced it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
But I don't know how long that takes. And I was thinking about, like, was it a few days before Clayton got sick, or
worry about it? Like, is it still kind of contagious? Like, could you get it from him now?
I don't think so, but I don't know. And so then I went and furiously washed all the diapers and all the changing tables, and I washed the bath, the baby bath. And also, we had been in Ocean City, Maryland with my niece, who's 5 months old. And so I was worried about her. And the doctor said, this is not an airborne illness. It's a contact illness. So you have to literally touch something to get it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about just, you know, kind of hovering over him and breathing while I'm changing diapers. So right. That's a good thing. So now you guys know way too much about staph infection.
No, thank you for sharing that.
Treating that during a hurricane. So
poor guy.
You'll be prepared. I know. But the one good thing that came out of this is every time I thought something's a little off, I could do nothing or I could take him in, it was the right choice to take him in. So I didn't have to be accused of panicking and being a panicking mom.
You have a good motherly intuition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and actually, I've gotten to the point where I don't care. I always call and ask if I'm concerned, because I feel like what we feel in our gut says a lot, and, you know, not to freak out over the small things, but it never hurts to ask.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's a great woman I follow, Christiane Northrup, and one of the things that she says in her books are feelings are facts. So I think that that's it's a good rule of thumb, feelings are facts. So let's move on and talk about someone else's, something happier, because Natalie wanted to talk about her little monkey.
Oh, yeah, monkey's a good word for him. He is climbing on everything. I posted the other day a little video of him climbing. He turned over the empty laundry basket in his little play area, and he very cautiously climbed on top, and he stood up on top, and when he gets on top, he goes, "Mommy," you know, to show what he's accomplished. And then I said, you know, "Dominic, can you get down now?" And he very cautiously stepped off, and, you know, it was very good. So that was, you know, a good, safe, I'm okay with example of climbing. I think it's good for him to kind of, you know, learn how to do those things and to, you know, practice balance and all that kind of stuff. But the thing that kills me is that in our backyard, my dad made him this little picnic table set. It's a knockoff of the really cute Pottery Barn one. And it's darling. So it has these two little benches. It looks like an adult, like, fancy Pottery Barn picnic table, but it's baby size. It's kid size. So it has these cute little benches and, you know, regular picnic table. And he will climb up on top of it. He'll sit on it like he's being a good boy. And then he'll wait until I turn my back. And I turn back around and he's standing on top of the picnic table.
Oh, my gosh.
On the concrete. And I'm like, no. And you can't sprint toward them, because then they freak out, you know, and maybe he'll fall. So I have to very cautiously, like, "Dominic, you don't climb on the table," and walk toward him slowly and then scoop him up. But he, you know, he hasn't quite learned yet. I've been trying to tell him, you know, you sit on your bottom on the bench, and he'll do that for a minute. But, you know, I give him the chance, and he's up on the table. So I just
learned I have to be super attentive to him when we're outside. And, I usually am, but sometimes I'm doing a little bit of gardening or, I'll sit and I'll read a book while he's playing in his sand table. So I just have to be careful when he gets over to the picnic table that, I can't keep my eyes off of him and I can't really run inside the house and grab something if I want to, because I know it takes probably 15 seconds for him to climb up on top of it. So it's been a lesson for me in because I like to be a little bit free range with him. I like to let him kind of do his own thing. But when it's something like that, which represents to me a pretty present danger, that I have to be a little bit more, close up, hands on with him. So I'm learning to balance the two instincts.
I was going to ask you, Natalie, do you think it's hard to kind of, I guess all of you as moms, do you think it's hard, or do you sometimes find it challenging to figure out what's okay and what's not okay, just in terms of climbing or just anything they do? I'm constantly struggling with that. Like, is this okay?
I'm losing Alex.
We're losing you a bit, Alex.
What do you guys think?
Oh, Alex,
can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
I can hear you now, just you.
I think you're okay.
It's cutting in and out.
So I'll summarize. Her question was, do you kind of fight with yourself on, oh, maybe that's okay, or maybe that's not, or is it hard? And my answer to that is yes. I'm always like, well, maybe that's okay. And then I go back and forth. What do you think, Nat?
I totally do. I mean, I don't want to be that helicopter parent. I don't want to be constantly over him. But there's my internal instinct that, I want to give him a little bit more space, but I want to keep him safe. But then also, like, when we're at the park, I feel like there's a little bit of external pressure. Like, I feel like if you're not hovering over your kid, people are judging you for not paying attention to your kid. I don't know. Maybe that's just in my head. But I feel like, I've heard moms talking around the sandbox being like, oh, can you believe so-and-so let their baby do this or that? And I'm just like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I would have done the same thing. So it's guys, just.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Jennifer. Yeah,
sorry, my unmute. I've been playing with it. And sometimes I forget if it's on or not. So, no, I was going to jump in, Natalie, and say that I actually feel the opposite sometimes, but maybe it's because the moms around the play groups that I'm in are, their kids are a little older, not necessarily the play group, but the park I went to yesterday. And so I just let Elle kind of walk around and climb on things. And when she gets out of I can't see her, then I go around. It's a gated kind of place. But I felt like most of the other moms are like sitting around. One woman was doing a conference call. So I didn't want to be the mom that was just like following her little baby around all over the place. But so it was fun because it was a different type of playground where they were all mostly small things and you wouldn't have to worry about them tripping on like a.
Oh, you're cutting out now. But I sometimes, she's there. Oh. We heard the end of that anyway.
I'm here.
Okay. I think this is going to be so frustrating for our listeners. Sorry about the Skype issues today. Okay. But I was going to say, when I take Miles to the pool, we have a local community pool here, and I see other moms reading a book and sort of keeping one eye on the kids and one eye on the book. I think, what must that be like? Because you have to have pretty good swimmers at that point, and they have lifeguards too. So, they must be trusting the lifeguards. But I was like, oh, we're many years away from that when I can bring a book.
Yeah.
Or I admire the parents who have two kids and trying to multitask.
Oh, you should have seen my neighbor the other day. We decided to do a play date at the pool, and she has a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, and she's pregnant. And she had like one kid in a little floaty and the other kid in the pool she was holding. And she looks amazing, with her cute little baby bump in her bikini. I was I don't know if I'll get there.
That's amazing. I was at the park across the street, and a dad showed up with 5 kids.
What? Like, all his?
Yeah, not all his. Two were his, wife's friend, and I guess they just started, his wife had just started doing CrossFit, which I think Alex and Josh are big fans of. And he was just being a great dad and taking the kids for her while she was gone, and her friend. So there are, 5 kids, 5 and under. I was
amazed.
I was impressed.
It's funny. They were talking on Daddy on Board recently about balancing out the ratio. Like, you know, the ratio of parents to children. They said right now it's tipped in our favor because we have two parents to one child. So we should have a pretty good hold on things. When you have two, it's then two to two. And that makes a little bit, you know, harder. But then Mike, one of the hosts of Daddy on Board, was saying, don't tip the ratio. You don't want to be outnumbered, which I thought was funny.
So. I was talking to somebody at the park the other day, and she had one child of her own, but then she was babysitting three others.
Wow.
And she, I mean, they, and these are all pretty little kids too. And I was talking to her and I was like, how do you do this? And she said, with the older ones especially, it's easier to have more of them because they play with each other. So you don't always have to be engaging them. You know, she had two probably like four-year-olds who hung out together. And then she had like a one-year-old and a two-year-old that were kind of, you know, hanging out together. And, you know, I thought that made a lot of sense. I mean, that must be what our, you know, forefathers did who had all of these kids. They would occupy each other, you know, between that and all the farm work.
Yeah. I was listening to the Freakonomics blog, the Freakonomics podcast, which is worth listening to this week because it's about having kids and the economics of having kids and the balance between all those kids. You guys should listen to it. I'll put a link in the show notes. But now I was thinking about that, especially when I read Jennifer's post about her family road trip, because you've still got the ratio in your favor, but you guys, I guess, still found it a little challenging, right?
Yes, we did. And I think the reason for that is we thought we had traveled before, but we hadn't really traveled where when we got to our destination, it was just us. And it wasn't a home that we, you know, were going to visit my parents and we already had certain things there and things like that. So it was really just us going on our first little trip and getting into our first place that we weren't familiar with, a home that we weren't familiar with. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, but it was definitely a lot more work than I had anticipated. I guess just from our former travels, it made air travel to me, it seemed a lot easier. But we'll see, because I'm flying to Arkansas this Saturday. So we'll see how things have changed since the last time. But there are a couple of takeaways that I have thought about since the trip, and they're really not that amazing. There are things that we would all think, oh yeah, of course we would do that. But we're all moms and we're all trying to get everything together. And I can't keep up with everything and I can't remember everything. So I was just starting to think for my next trip, what would I do differently? And one of those things was think more about the timing of when I was leaving. Because we were picking Tom up, my husband, from work, and it was Friday afternoon. I was supposed to pick him up around 5, but of course I didn't get there until like 6:30. And I wasn't really sure of what to expect from traffic. And my daughter had taken a really long nap that day. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. I can get everything packed. Where in reality, I probably should have started packing earlier in the week and really had taken her to the park or something like that earlier in the day where she could have really wore herself out.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we had woken up from that 3-hour nap, then we were in the car and she was just not wanting to sleep, and then we were in traffic. So I always think about traffic before I had a baby. I thought it was bad then, but then imagine, you know, having your child in the back seat screaming while you're, you know, back-to-back traffic. So
that's the worst. Natalie, what's your Natalie had a CD that worked for her?
Oh, Kesha. It's Kesha.
Yeah. Kesha.
All Kesha all the time when we're in the car, seriously. That's 4 hours on the way to Tahoe. Three Kesha songs on repeat, swear to God.
I should have tried that. So I just tried food, which seemed to work for her. So after a bottle and some peas, she was pretty content and finally went to sleep.
Did you climb into the back seat with her?
Yeah, I was in the back with her because initially I was in the front, but then it was back to back. Then Tom got in the back, and then I got in the back because sometimes she gets a mommy clingy tendency. Yeah. So I think I would probably have run off some more energy before we got in the car. And
that's
then
a great
I also
tip.
Would yeah. have probably tried to maybe plan it around when I had that time was going to be, if that was a possibility. Because
mm-hmm.
that's how it worked out on the way home. We took her to a little park before we got back in the car, and then it was around her nap time, and she was out. She slept the whole way home.
Oh, that's great.
We do. Josh and I have done quite a few road trips with Reese. When we're doing long road trips, like 3 or 4 hours, we actually go at night, so she'll just sleep the entire way, and it's awesome. She just passes right out. But we've gone to Capitola a couple of times, and we're actually going again in a couple of weeks. And we try to time it, if there's some flexibility in when you leave, around a nap time. So we'll see how that goes this next time.
Yeah,
sorry,
we
if
usually
you can hear her in the background.
I can. I hear someone banging on something.
She's playing with her blocks.
And then the other thing that I wanted to point out from the trip that I learned is Tom was like, oh, where are we going to eat on the way? And I was like, oh, I'll just figure it out on the way because I have an iPhone and I was just going to use the Yelp app. And but what I learned is with the Yelp app is that, unless I'm doing it wrong, is that it's only tuned to what's nearby. So I couldn't search 3 hours ahead of time when we would be in Santa Cruz of where we would eat. It was, you know, everywhere that was nearby. And they also have limited filters. They don't have the good for kids filter that they have on the website. So I just used the 3G and went on, you know, the internet. But that's just something to think about with Yelp that I didn't know.
Oh, what a bummer.
I know. And I don't know if you guys have any other apps that you use other than like the Urban Spoon or something like that for finding restaurant recs.
No, I don't actually. I use Yelp most of the time.
Or Google Maps. Or OpenTable also has an app as well. But Yelp and OpenTable are the same company now. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. So, and then the other thing was that I think is the most important tip is, you know, to keep things loose. So we didn't pack our itinerary. We went to Monterey knowing we were going to go to one place, the aquarium. And we, you know, found a few other places while we were there. But there were times where, you know, Elle wasn't wanting to cooperate. And I considered her to be a very happy, she just was, you know, out of her surroundings. And I think that kind of put her off a little bit. But, and I just realized in certain situations how quickly it could escalate to like a stressful situation if you didn't just sit back and say, hey, you know what? We know we took this trip to get away and to have fun, but the point is to be here and spend time with one another. It's not for us to be at the aquarium at 11 o'clock sharp and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just really to step back, take a breath, and just realize, you know, you're with the people you love. And
that's a great tip.
Yeah, you know.
I think that is such an important tip. Can you guys?
I know that toy. That's the ball toy.
Oh my gosh.
I could pinpoint that toy in my sleep.
It's on all day. But Jennifer, I love that tip because I didn't realize that at first, and I'm such a planner. So I would have all these activities planned. And in reality, it was just we could never do half of it. So I love, you know, picking one thing that you really want to do and be flexible with timing. And then the rest is just kind of be spontaneous.
Yeah, and you never know what'll pop up in all that other time, you know. You might discover something you wouldn't have otherwise. So I like that too.
Yeah. Well, Alex, you are up next, and I wanted to talk about nap deletion. So obviously, Reese is not napping right now.
you were here in the background. No.
You've been talking about going from two naps a day to one, and under normal circumstances, she might be having her first nap now, right?
Well, I did put her down. I put her down at 9:15, and she had been, I thought she was asleep. She lied down, and then 10 minutes later, she was wide awake, jumping. She now knows how to jump in a crib, so she jumps and laughs. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's hilarious. And she can see the monitor light, so she looks up at it. It's like she knows I'm watching.
That's funny.
So, yeah, I'm, you know, this whole transition thing is going from two naps to one nap. I don't know if she's ready, but I think she is. It's been a month of this, and I would say 75% of the time this past month, she has not napped, taken her first nap. And it's frustrating because I just want to know, is she going to nap or not? Because otherwise I could plan activities. But they are so important to me, the naps, because she's such a happier baby when she naps. You know, some people have babies that they can just tote around and she's not one of them. So I just want to know, is she going to take two naps or one nap? So, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out, and it's a lot of troubleshooting right now. But I think for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to try. I mean, it's only two more weeks. I'm going to try to continue to put her down at her normal morning nap time and see if it, you know, somehow miraculously comes back. And if it doesn't, then we'll just move to one nap.
Are you finding on the days when she doesn't sleep in the morning that she's crankier, or does she do okay?
You know, she actually does okay, which is why I'm not so torn up about her move. If, you know, I think it is moving. She's moving to one nap. You know, she's actually okay. She gets a little fussy about 5:30 when it's close to bedtime. Mm-hmm. But other than that, she's fine. Like right now, she is so happy playing with her blocks and making noise.
Aww. She sounds happy.
Yeah, she is. And before, when she was younger, she used to just scream and cry when she was overtired. So I don't think she's overtired, which is good.
Yeah.
And it sounds like she's sleeping for a few minutes at least. So maybe that's just all she needs, you know? Maybe it's not a proper nap, but it's just sort of like an equalizer, I think, is what they call in Healthy Sleep Habits, Happy Baby, which you quoted here in the post.
I love that book.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That book. He's fantastic.
Yes. And I love that he offers just different troubleshooting solutions. So I go back and I've tried kind of everything and I'm like, okay, I've tried everything. So it must be her transitioning.
You know, and I actually thought, and my fear is, since I do work at home and that some of that time, most of the naps that Elle has, I work during that time. So my concern was, oh my gosh, how am I going to get things done? But, it sounds like from some comments on the post, it actually gives some moms more freedom because it sort of blocks out one portion of the day where you can plan on going places without meltdowns. But then in the afternoon, the naps have gotten longer. And so you do have more time to really, I guess, focus.
Yeah, I have
the focusing
fun.
Is nice, but it's impossible for me not to get online until 1 p.m. when he goes down, you know, every day. So that's why I brought in the daycare since he went to the one nap, because it's too hard to get all my work done.
And Natalie, that one nap, that's a recent transition, right?
Well, yeah, we had tried at the beginning of summer. I thought he was ready. He was, you know, skipping his nap in the morning like Reese is doing. So we did. We went to one nap, and then we started having the mother's helper come, and he was just super cranky with her, and he was biting me, and he was not happy. So we went. I switched the time that the mother's helper came until later, and we went back to two naps, and that was great for another probably 2 months or so. And then starting basically at our vacation a few weeks ago, we just went to one nap, and it went. It's been totally fine. He's done.
Did you move to the 1 o'clock, like to 1 o'clock immediately, or did you start out a little bit earlier?
When the first time I did it, when we first tried it, we did it earlier and that was okay. But now when we did it like for real, it's 1 and it's fine. I mean, it's a long time to be up, but he's fine with it.
Reese is fine with it too.
Fine with it too.
she wants to play.
What's Miles doing? Is he doing 2 still, Matt?
Yeah, he's still doing 2. And he's doing it pretty – he skipped 1 or 2 last week when we were on vacation, and that made me anxious because I didn't want to go to one nap yet, mostly because mommy's not ready. But now – and now he's sleeping longer naps in the afternoon, and I think probably because he's sick, he's sleeping longer. But he's still on 2 naps a day and then sleeping through the night, so –
Yeah, see, I'm okay. I hear a lot of moms say, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose that nap. And I understand, because I love that kind of quiet time for an hour in the morning. But I'm also really excited just to be able to plan like longer outings and just leave for the morning. Although, Natalie Gaffori, I love your comment when you're like, sometimes I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm now have something planned every day but Monday in the morning for the foreseeable future.
Yes, so. I love it.
What do we do with these September kids?
Hey, yeah. Matt, are you looking at like any sites or things for inspiration? I know you're all familiar with Red Tricycle, but Gobi.com is another site that's kind of cool, worth checking out. It has fun things to do nearby, and they have like kid-friendly activities.
Oh.
So it could be even new parks. I mean, because it's amazing how different those vary, you know, from one to another.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Gobi, G-O-B-Y?
Yes. Gobi.com.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I found this website that had like 100 things to do in San Francisco because I want to fill our schedule up, and I have time now with her. I should share that on our blog just for anybody who lives in the Bay Area.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up because I think we've gone through touched on the highlights of what we've been writing about this week. But of course, there will be more. So hopefully you are visiting mommybeta.com regularly and participating in our giveaways, because we're always giving away fun things like food this week and cookbooks and printers and nursing covers and runs the gamut. So make sure you're visiting there regularly. And if you have any comments, you can always email us mb@mommybeta.com or tweet us or write on the blog. There's many, many ways. So we want to wrap up the show with our little victory, which we normally do at the end of the show. Just the one little thing that we can all celebrate together. And Jennifer is going to take it this week. Jennifer, what is your little victory?
Yeah, so it's really a victory for my husband because my little girl, the other morning, she lifted her arms up and said, Dada!
Oh! How cute.
Oh my gosh, it made his year.
Oh. That is so precious.
Yeah. Aww. Oh, as if he wasn't already right around her little finger.
Oh my gosh, I know, I know. But recently she's kind of gotten where, you know, she likes mommy to hold her a lot of the time and snuggle with mommy. So, and so today she actually was kind of snuggly with him, but she was saying dada, dada. So I think it really just made his day, you know?
So cute. Well done, Elle.
Reese wants to participate in this conversation.
I hear that. All right. Well, maybe we can have our babies have their own little podcast.
That would be interesting.
Oh, my God. That would be hilarious. It like 2-year-olds podcasting.
Ow, apple.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of animal sounds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
So. All right. Well, thank you again for listening. We are so glad you stopped by and listened to the podcast today. We hope you stop by the blog later, and we hope to hear from you anytime, mb@mommybeta.com, or just any comment on the site is fine. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Reese is waving.
Bye-bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks and more. To grow so big overnight, how did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. Drawing pictures wild and free while the paint goes flying. Your big smile, it brightens up the room. You and me reading books in bed, your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. To grow so big overnight, how did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud.